Appreciate that song, Brother Mike. Can't think of a better song. We're talking about trust. This is the fourth part of this series. And our theme passage is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." This evening, I want us to consider things that we can do, things that we can have in our mind that will help us to increase our faith and trust in the Lord, that will help us to do that if we will incorporate these things in our life. So how can we learn to trust God? The first thing I want us to consider that will help us is to know that He is there. And He's mindful of us. What a humbling thing that the Creator of the universe and our Creator who created us, each one of us, is there and He is mindful of us. And He wants to hear from us. He's concerned about us. He cares about us. In Psalm 8 and verse 4, David wrote these words while thinking about this awesome thought. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" This verse in Psalm 8 and verse 4 highlights the profound reality that our Creator, the Creator of the vast starry universe, pays attention to us individually. He's mindful of us. In fact, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 7, "No detail is too small. Even the hairs of our head are numbered." In the verse before that, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 6, it's talking about a sparrow, and none is forgotten by God, and we are more valuable to Him than a sparrow. So even the very hairs on your head are numbered. No detail is too small. Our Creator is there. He's on His throne. He's in heaven. And we can talk to Him every day. We need to know that He is there. We need to feel His presence. God has promised to be with us, and we need to trust Him in that. Just because things are difficult in life, things are not going the way that we had dreamed or hoped of, things are not going our way, it does not mean that He is not there. It does not mean that He is not working in our lives. Remember that His thoughts, His ways, are not our thoughts and ways. His timing is not necessarily our timing. We need to trust in Him. We need to know that He is there. When John saw the throne room of heaven opened up, he saw God on that throne. He is there. He knows what we're doing. He cares, and that's the next point. We need to understand that He does care. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we think about verse 8 a lot, don't we? Our adversary, the devil. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." But just before that verse, did you realize verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." God has our best interest at heart. He wants what's best for us. In contrast, Satan, the devil, is looking to destroy us, to devour us. But God cares about us, and we can cast all of our cares upon Him. In Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, we read, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He knows our frame," or our form, "and He remembers that we are dust." God cares about us. You know, in ancient times, the kings were not accessible. In fact, if you came into the presence of the king and upset him, he could have you killed just like that. It was a very serious thing to go into the presence of the king. Inaccessible. God is accessible, and he desires for us to come to him. Remember, we can go to him in prayer any time of the day or night, and he can turn the night into day. He is there if you need him tonight. He'll be there for you. He'll incline his ear to you because he cares for you. You're valuable to him. Every soul is. I believe it will help us to trust God more if we'll understand how much he cares. Know that he is faithful. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. God is dependable. He is faithful. In Psalm 36 and verse 5, we read, Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. That's great faithfulness. David said in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. God is faithful, and we need to understand that. It will help us as we read Scripture to understand God's faithfulness, that he is completely trustworthy. Number four, he keeps his promises. We need to know that. We need to understand that. It is impossible for God to lie. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, the inspired writer tells us that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. It is impossible for God to lie, it says in Hebrews 6 and verse 18. In the next verse, it says that this hope we have is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. We can anchor our confidence in God because he keeps his promises. He does not break his promises. In times past, what he says, he's kept. He has not forgotten his promises, and we need to understand that. It is impossible for him to lie. He is completely trustworthy. But also, know that his way is best. Trust that. Not our way. Don't do what's right in your own eyes. Do what God instructs us to do, because it is for our best. In Psalm 18 and verse 30, the psalmist writes, As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. He is our shield. He is our protector. And his way is perfect. It's complete. You go back to our text. In Proverbs chapter 3, we have looked at time and time again, verses 5, 6, and 7. But verse 8, If we do these things, if we fear the Lord and do what he says and depart from evil, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It is good for us. God always has our best interest at heart, and we need to trust him in that. So I believe if we do these five things, that will help us to build trust in God. And we need to continually keep these things about God, these qualities before our mind, especially when we're going through very difficult times in our life. You know, studying the Word of God, as we do, it's so important because it will produce and increase faith in us and trust in God. I call your attention to the fact that God is always faithful, and that's what we learn time and time again as we study the Bible. And as we go throughout the survey on Wednesday nights, think about the fact that God is faithful. In Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, Jeremiah writes, Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, he says to God. Now, I want you to understand the context in which Jeremiah writes this. Lamentations means mourning, crying, sorrow. He is mourning the destruction of Jerusalem. It is a national tragedy, crisis. Jerusalem has been destroyed at the hands of Babylon. And Jeremiah takes time out during this stressful time. He pauses to reflect upon God's faithfulness, and he says, "Great is your faithfulness." And in essence here, he is thanking God for his mercy that they were not completely destroyed because he and some others are still alive. It's not total destruction. He says, because of your mercies, we are not consumed. And his compassion never fails. As his word never fails, his compassion never fails. But the point is that God has never failed to keep his promises. And I'm sure if I don't mention Genesis chapter 12 Wednesday night, you'll bring it to my attention, because that is a key chapter in the Bible. The promises that God made to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Did you realize that these promises that God made to Abraham did not come to pass quickly? It took a long time. And as you're reading throughout Genesis, you see it's reiterated, the land promise is particularly focused on, the land promise, this promised land. And you get to Joshua chapter 21. Look at Joshua chapter 21. In Joshua chapter 21, the last three verses, we read this. Beginning in verse 43 of Joshua 21. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give them to the fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Finally, after all these years, you know, God had promised to Abraham the promised land. And he wondered about the rest of his life, never owning any of it, except a burial lot for his wife, Sarah. Same thing with his son and his immediate descendants. It took till we get to Joshua chapter 21 for that promise that we read about in Genesis chapter 12 of being fulfilled. Now, the further we go back in Genesis, the more difficult it is to get the accurate date. There are varying beliefs on how far back this goes. Some people date Abraham to 2100 BC. Some 1875 and all in between. But the promise of the land that was made to Abraham, it could have taken between 500 and 600 years or even 600 and 700 years before it was fulfilled. But God's word always comes true. He keeps his promises. Did you notice here at the end of Joshua chapter 21 that it says that not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken? It all came to pass. The promise of blessings came to pass. But also, that the warnings never fail either. Brother Gordon read to us from the 23rd chapter, there toward the end of the 23rd chapter, and you see that the promised land comes with a warning. God says, if you turn your back on me, if you turn to other gods, if you are unfaithful to me, you're going to lose the land that I gave you. That's just summing up what he said. God's warnings come true too. And we need to understand that as much as we understand that his promises of blessings come true. God is so faithful. You know, we think about Abraham. Many consider him the father of faith. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 a couple of times for having great faith. We see also there in Genesis 12, a key chapter of the Bible, that he was called to leave his homeland and go to a land he didn't know. And he does it. That's great faith. You know, back then, you think it's difficult to leave home now. Back then, that was considered your livelihood. You might be walking away from your ability to sustain your life. That takes a great amount of faith. And I'm going somewhere I've never been before. How am I going to make it? He's trusting God. However, in that same chapter, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 9 through 20, he lies to save Sarah from Pharaoh. He lies about it. He convinces her to lie and say that you're my sister, to spare her and him. But God is the one that delivers. But how could he so quickly, showing great faith, show a weakness of faith? And you get to Genesis 20, verses 2 through 12. You see, again, he lies to another king, not Pharaoh, but King Abimelech. Same thing. Instead of trusting God, he lies. Yet, a couple of chapters past that, you see that God tells him to sacrifice his son that he had waited 25 years after he was promised to get. Sacrifice him on the altar to me. And he is going to go through with that. So I say all of this to say, in comparison to us, God is faithful. Abraham, a man of faith, but he had his weak moments. His life could be like a roller coaster. Strong faith, weak faith. Strong faith, weak faith. Guess what, friends? We're the same way. Do you remember not too long ago, I had a lesson from Psalm 105 about the faithfulness of God. It talks about the history of Israel, and it emphasizes that God is faithful all throughout that history. And the very next psalm, I think it's intentional, Psalm 106, it reviews some of the same history. And it shows how God's covenant people were unfaithful time and time again. You know, we have people we trust. But above all, we need to trust God. From the beginning, you know, as you were reading and beginning to read Genesis, you don't have to get very far, chapter 2 and 3, to see that God commanded them. There was a tree that they were not to eat of, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, if you do, you'll surely die. Well, Satan comes along in chapter 3, and he tells Eve, oh, he said, what? And she believes. She eats. Adam, he ate it. What happened? Just what God said. His warnings come true. His promises come true. We need to trust him completely. Don't think that somehow we're going to be an exception. When he says through his inspired writer, through the Holy Spirit, to the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the churches of Galatia, and says in chapter 6, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. Don't think for a minute that God doesn't mean that. Don't deceive yourselves. It says God is not mocked. A man will reap what he sows. Trust him. Finally this evening, Guess what? We still serve the same God, and we can trust Him completely today. We can trust Him with our lives. He's going to take care of our physical needs. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, observing the birds of the air that do not work, they don't have jobs, they're not employed, but yet they have a nest and they're taken care of, and the flowers, they come up in the springtime and they're arrayed more beautifully than Solomon in all his glory, and God's taking care of them. And if He will take care of them, if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all that we need will be taken care of. God will provide. He is our welfare system. And we need to understand that all things work together for good for those that are called according to His purpose, those that love Him, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. And He's promised that the Lord is coming back, and I don't know when it is. It might be before we get home tonight, but be ready for the end. Be prepared. Trust God's plan of salvation. There's nothing else. There's no other way to be saved. Trust God in what He says. And if we do this, we will hear someday out of the mouth of our Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I hope we all hear that. Come if you need to, while together we stand and sing.